Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Wild Yoga Tribe podcast. I'm your host, Lily Allen Duenas. Together, we'll talk about the world of yoga and we'll talk to people from around the world. Before diving into the episode, I wanted to invite you to head on over to my Patreon account. I would love your support and I'm thrilled to have this beautiful community space where we can do yoga together, meditate together, and you'll get access to exclusive content. Get ready for some private Zoom Q&As, free printable art, meditation recordings, and more. Follow the link in the show notes to get started or head on over to any of my social media channels or my website, wildyogatribe.com, to hang out, get to know each other better, and find out more about all the support and resources available to you. Ready to dive in? Let's get started. Namaste, family, and welcome back to the Wild Yoga Tribe podcast. Today, I am so excited to be joined by Chacal Lobos. He's a yoga teacher who also does go by Carlos. So if you hear me call him Carlos throughout the show, it's one of his names, Chacal or Carlos. So he's the co-founder of the Tribu Ashtanga Yoga Teacher Training Center and Yoga Intensive Center, which is in Guatemala. So I am so excited to talk more about Carlos because he is not someone who wanted me to read too much of a bio. He did not want me to give too much of a background for you all. He wants to be the one to express himself, who he is, and what his journey with yoga has been like. So thank you, Chacal, for being with me today.
Thank you, Lily. Thanks for having this really cool space to talk about this beautiful discipline. I'm really excited. This is also really new for me. Thanks for the opportunity to talk from here, from Guatemala. Thank you.
Oh, I'm so excited. And Chacal, just for starters, tell us about your name. Why do you go by Carlos and Chacal?
The name that my parents gave to me is Carlos, no? Because the name of my father is Carlos. And the name of his father is Carlos. I don't know why this usually happens. I feel like it's like taking things that they had with their past. So I think that with our past, we have enough to carry more than the things of our parents and the grandparents. So I like this name. One of my friends told to me once like that. And then I like that. I feel really more free and more identified with a wild animal that with a name that has been for decades with the family. It's like changing the way I live, no, with another name.
Yeah, so Chacal means jackal, in right? That the wild animal that's like a dog and a cat.
Yeah, a dog and a wolf, like is wild. Mm. It's cool that you call me like that because just in this case, you and my close friends.
I love it.
Yeah.
Great. And so Chacal, how did yoga first come into your life? Like, how did you even hear about yoga? Do you remember how that came to you?
I'm going to explain this with a small story. I love stories. So there's a story of a woman, no? She was called Radiksha, and she wanted to turn into a Buddhist monk, no? But by these times, for the society, it was not allowed that a woman turn into a Buddhist monk. So she didn't care, no? So she shaved the hair and she joined a group of monks that they were traveling from South India to North India. Her dream was coming true, no? She was really excited to make this trip. So when she arrived to North India to rest for a few days before they keep going the peregrination, the leader of the monks said, no, search for a place to sleep. We are going to rest in this village. So everybody started to knock the doors, and for all the monks, was super easy to catch a place to sleep. They were considered saint men. People opened the door for them really easy. For all of them, but there was one monk that didn't get a bed. That one was Radiksha. Because nobody wanted a woman monk sleeping in their house. Because for the old beliefs and the wrong beliefs they had. So Radiksha said, okay, nobody want me to sleep in their house, so I'm going to search for a place to sleep. So she lay down by the side of a tree. She fell asleep at 6 a.m. in the morning of the next day. The rays of the light woke up Radiksha. And when she opened the eye, something really incredible happened. She saw this tree full of fruits and colorful. It was the most beautiful picture she ever saw. So she got enlightened because of this amazing moment. So the first thing that she made after getting enlightened, she put her knees in the front of the tree and she said, thanks to the tree for giving me this moment of enlightenment. And then she put her knees in the direction of the town that closed the doors to her to give thanks to them. Because they closed the doors to her, she could lay down on the tree and got enlightenment. So I think that this came from an act of a rebel soul of doing something against the rules. That's more or less what happened with me. I born in a really Catholic traditional family. They want me to always go to the church on Sunday. I was not able to look my favorite soccer team playing on Sundays. I need to go to the church. So at some point, I felt that I was angry with God, because I was not happy with what I was doing. I started to search for other path. No? I quit the college and everything when I started to found the philosophy of yoga. First I found the philosophy and then the practice. And then, and then I made this act of revolution, no? That I don't want to do the same. And then my parents, they start to see small changes in my life, in my way of living. So they accepted, and now they also like the practice. So this is how it came to me, no? Some closes doors in other place. So I need to find my way. And then I saw light there, and then I could not escape, no? It catch me. So that's presume. I hope it answers the question.
Yeah, that's a beautiful story. First, the one that you shared with the female monk, Radeksha, I think was her name. And also your story just about how you felt like you had this rebellious heart and you followed exactly what was calling to you. That's take such bravery, you know, shake off expectations from family, from friends, from community, and to have that willingness to reshape your path and reshape also how you are and who you are and what you're embodying.
Yeah, I feel that every person that is in the yoga practice has a rebel heart, because mostly the society is like teaching us to look outside for the people who is in this, like you, is they made the decision to look inside instead of looking outside. As a rebel act, I think we are in the same line.
I think so. I hope so. Yes. And it is, you're right, revolutionary to not look outside for gratification, for material things, for approval from others. I'm not perfect by any means, but I feel like my journey, my path is inwards. It is trying to understand myself better, to understand my habits, my formations, my patterns of my mind, and how can I soften and surrender? What else can I let go of from my ego or from what I'm craving or what I'm facing aversion to? And I've had someone ask me before, are you done yet? Are you ever going to be done doing this work? And I don't think so. Maybe one day, but I'm not done yet, not close.
Exactly, right.
So Carlos, something I would like to talk to you about too, though, is the importance of traditional practices in yoga. I know we're talking about being rebellious, but I know that the traditional practices is something you're very passionate about.
DC, I feel that in the tradition is where you find freedom. No? I love the word tradition, no? Because it comes from traditia. That means give without changing. To respect a lot this thing that you discover and it came to you. And you have so much respect for it that you just could share it in the same way and with the same devotion that someone shared it to you. And this ancestral practice, the yoga, Sangha yoga, I feel they have something really like everything, but because they never die, no? The time passes, time goes, and they never die. They are still alive. So I think that when you start to practice a traditional style or a ancestral practice, you are really part of it because you are helping keep it alive. They have their essence and we are just like the translators. I feel that the traditional practices, they don't have like projections of a creator, because it's like the yoga practice, no? We know maybe that it comes from India for sure, but we don't know who really created it. That is super beautiful, because then there are no projections in it and it allows you to discover yourself. So that's why I believe a lot in them.
Beautiful. Yeah. I love how you said that there's essence to yoga and we're just the translators. Wow.
It's a cool, big gift, but big gift carries a big responsibility.
Yeah. And I know there's so many yoga teachers in the last, we'll say 100 years, who've come up with their own styles of yoga. They've developed their own sequences or own methods. And how do you feel about those people who maybe even name that type of yoga after themselves?
No, a teacher is one of my guides. And when I always ask him like how it should be a practice, how not, he always surprised me saying, it depends. So I feel that depend what you are searching for is the style that you are gonna go in. So maybe these people who created their own style is for a certain group of people that they will find something there. At least, I think like at least a beautiful thing that can give to you is compromise with something, compromise and discipline with something. So I remember another teacher telling to me, was teaching in the gymnastics in the beginning, no? When there was not too much opening for the yoga studios for me, it was hard to talk about philosophy. They were searching more physical pushing. So told me, even if you just teach them some asanas, something inside of them is gonna change. Even if they don't listen about the traditional words and all of it, pure asanas, they have their own magic, no? So I feel that everything made with honesty and like that, it would make something positive. And like a knife, with the knife that maybe someone created, well, you decide to cook or to kill, no? So yeah, the same with these new styles, these styles created by someone, they can be used for both.
Shakal, you gave me some good food for thought. I like that relating these new styles of yoga to knives that can either cook or can kill, to these tools. And it depends on what, you know, how they're being used and also the intention of the teacher. I know that's a huge thing you should address and talk about. And everyone should think about is what's the intention of that yoga teacher to create that? Where is it coming from? And how is it honoring also what a certain population needs, responding to serving certain people, as you said. But something so interesting about you, Shakal, and I love it, and I love my listeners to hear your thoughts too, is you, I know, don't like to share how long you've been practicing yoga or where you got trained in yoga. You think that is something that isn't important to you to share with others. So could I hear your thoughts on that so we could share it with our listeners?
Of course. It's okay if I explain it to you with another small story?
It would make me very happy. Please do.
Okay. Okay, so this story is really cool because if any listener, anytime you want to visit in Guatemala, I live here in the Lake Atitlan. No, it's a beautiful lake, really magic. And this story is about three children that they want cross the lake by boat, but they are children, so their parents will not allow them to cross. They escape from their houses and like that, and at night they go in the boat and they start to paddle in the darkness and start to paddle. So the first children gets tired and gives the paddle to the other one and keeps going, no? Keeps working. They are rotating like this to cross the lake during all the night. So where do you think when it was the sunrise, where do you think that where they arrived?
They finally arrived there? They got it?
That would be great, no?
No.
They were in the same place because they never unlocked the rope.
They never untied their boat, so they just were paddling in place.
Exactly.
Yep.
And so I feel that sometimes that can happen with us and the time, no? That maybe you can be with the yoga practice or with everything, no? Paddling for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 5, 10, 15, but your boat is in the same place. So the most important is to open, not to untie the rope. So then the boat can naturally walk in the lake, even without paddling, just with the nature of the wind. So I feel the same. Sometimes comes a student to the class. See, I come to the class of Ashtanga, now I've been practicing for 10 years. It does not matter. For me, the thing that matters in the practice, even if it's a person that is the first class, is that someone who knows to listen, to wait for the accounting, to don't move before the counting, to look to the correct drishtis while you say and they remember. So for me, that's that they don't have the rope in their boats. So the boat can fluid, finds the yoga, the real yoga. So that's more or less what I think about when someone asks me how much time I've been practicing or teaching. Also, my way of teaching changes every time. Oh, I'm sure that, and I think also the same for you, that the way you used to teach like maybe 1 year ago is really different than the way you teach now. And it will be different next year because we change. And also the way we teach. So we are not the same persons. So that's more my focus into that.
Yeah. It can be so easy to get lost and caught up or proud or drive the numbers first of, I should be good. I'm a good practitioner because I've been doing it for 10 years. But that's a lot of ego. And I know there's a story of these monks, these female monks called nuns, and in a Buddhist temple, and there's one nun, and she was old, and she'd been there for years, and she thought highly of herself, and the other nuns knew this. And so they ring a bell very loudly every morning, very close to where she was meditating on purpose, because she would react so negatively. Like she would get out of meditation and start yelling at them, but she still at the same time felt like she was so far along the path. And what a beautiful reminder that you can meditate for 10 hours a day. You can be living in a monastery for 20, 30 years, but that doesn't mean that you have reached anything farther than someone who has just started 2 months ago. It's not about that time spent. It's about how you spend that time and how much you can let go of the ego and be non-reactive. And instead allow everything to be as it arises. Can you be more patient or gentle, compassionate for yourself and others? You know, the list goes on and on, but I like that story myself. It's a good reminder.
Yeah, I love it as well. Really like it.
Carlos, too, I would love to hear about Tribhu Ashtanga. I know that you founded it with your wife. So I know that it's so special to get to talk to someone whose partner is a yoga teacher and their partner is on this path as well of spiritual wholeness and wellness and growth and self-awareness. So could you talk to us about Tribhu Ashtanga, what it is and where it is and everything about it? And then also, I'd love to hear more about your journey with your wife and what that's like to have a partner on the path.
Of course, for sure. Bueno, so first of all, it's a community. No, where we follow the traditional teaching and really sacred for us. Like I will say, like one of the bases of the school is like the first sutra, no, in the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali that says, Hatha Yoga Nusa Sanam. And it says, the discipline of yoga starts now. No? So Patanjali describes the yoga practice not as a science, not as a philosophy, not as an art. He describes it as a discipline. And I love the word discipline because I used to thought that it was discipline was like a soldier, no, like super like this. But then I found that it comes from the same root. Disciple and discipline come from disis. The word disis, that openness to learn. So this is what we follow, no? In Tribu Ashtanga, we are a community. We are there completely open and empty to follow the teachings of Ashtanga Yoga, no? Step by step, and trying to every person use this discipline to be able to find themselves, to find a moment of peace, and to tell everyone that everyone can practice this discipline, like this famous quote of Ashtanga. Everybody can practice. Healthy people, sick people, young people, old people. But there's one group that cannot practice. That is lazy people. So we give the welcome to everyone, no? To Tribu Ashtanga. We make courses of intensive courses of Ashtanga, courses of adjustments, courses of teaching. We love the adjustments because the main purpose of adjustment is healing the body of the people. So we believe that all the beings, they have hands, and if we have hands, they should be made for helping the others. So if you come to Tribu Ashtanga, we believe that you can have your own practice, and at some moment when you feel responsible to share, also to empower the people to share the practice with others and feel powerful with the name Tribu is because me and Elena, my partner, we like a lot the things from the earth. We like the fire, you know, the mezcal, the Mayan practices. So all the things from the roots, maybe it can describe from the guru, the beautiful guru, Ama. Ama, she says that the spiritual path is not going more beyond. The spiritual path is going back to our root. So that's what we try in Tribu Ashtanga. With the practice, each of themselves find their path, but with our help, try to bring them to the old and ancestral practice that make us one with the modern nature, and to live more happy and more healthy and more simple. So that's what we try to share with the school. No, a school of courses. Well, now we don't have a main, like a center. It's like in different centers around the lake. We give these courses. And for sure we are open to always travel to other places and to share this. The roots, the tribe, no, the tribu. It's a bit similar like the name of your podcast, no? Like this wild nature.
Yes. Yeah, we both had tribe, the tribu, the tribe. Beautiful. And also, Carlos, I haven't mentioned this to you before we started recording, so it's new for all of our listeners. They get to hear it on the Reaction Live. I also have been to the South India to Amma's ashram. I spent a month there in Kerala with her a couple of years ago.
Amazing.
Yeah. Have you gotten to meet her in person?
Yeah. I also met her. It was probably the most beautiful experience of my life. So to meet her in the yoga classes. Sometimes I bring a frame of hair. People ask, is she your Ashtanga teacher? I will. Ama, she don't practice Ashtanga, but she's the most devotional being I ever met, because she is hugging people from 12 to 12 without complaining. So I tell, if she can do that, you can practice Ashtanga for 2 hours.
Oh, I like that. It's beautiful. It's special too, because maybe some of our listeners don't have a guru or have never met one of these highly enlightened, realized, supposed reincarnations of Vishnu. That's for Ama. For our listeners who maybe don't have a connection with the guru themselves, can you tell our listeners, how did you connect with Ama? How did you find Ama? Just a little bit more about your experience with having a guru.
or before I answer to you, is so beautiful that someone like you asks a lot of questions. It happens maybe just with my close friends or with my partner, that you are able, no, to express your experiences. So first, thank you very much, no,
to
make remember these things and to have a space to listen to people. It's really special. And I had my teacher here in Mala, in Guatemala City. Her name is Vicky Mejia, amazing yoga teacher, and she introduced me to the practice of Ashtanga. She's like she's not the kind of teacher that is gonna say, "Oh, beautiful. Oh, gorgeous." No, she will tell you, "What are you doing? Oh, what is that?" So she made me switch my mind, and that's what I needed. So when I started to practice more, I started to get inspired. So I started to save money. Finally, I went to India, no? And everything was cool and beautiful. So, well, you know that it's hard to describe, right? That experience. And the food, everything amazing. But at that moment, I was not living anything like close to a miracle. And like when I was maybe in the month number 4 or 5, India, I received a message from one of my friends that a really hard situation happened to my sister. The name of my sister is Lucia. Something really strong happened to her daughter, just born 2 years ago, and they lost the father, no?
Oh, I'm sorry.
So, I said, "I'm coming back to Guatemala tomorrow. No worries. I'm going to be with you. No worries." But no, she said, "Carlos, what are you going to do if you come here? You will not be able to do anything. Nothing will change. But if you can, there's a guru in South India. Her name is Ama." Because this is a small parenthesis, because before I traveled with my family, we saw a movie, a French movie, where Ama appears. That is called Un Plus Un. So my sister, before I left to India, she was always telling me, "Go with Ama, go with Ama. It's incredible." My teacher never been there, but she's like a witch, no? So she was insisting a lot. So she told me, "If you can do something for me, go with Ama and ask to her, what can I do to go through this situation?"
Yeah, wow.
See, so I was in a really hard moment. No, it was probably really vulnerable moment of my life. So I went to that place with my heart fully open. If they tell me anything, I will do anything with all my belief and faith. Because the only thing I wanted is an answer for my sister. At the end, I received her answer, not with words, no? Like the big gurus. They gave you teachings until you understand. And she gave me the answer for my sister, so she can travel through this. And now my sister is super good. Now she got married again. My niece is super happy. But she told me with the teachings, she told me, the answer for my sister is to learn from the kids, learn from the children, how happy they live. If they fight with each other, 2 seconds after, they are again friends, right? So at the end, the teaching for my sister was to learn from her daughter. Her name is Nia. So that's how I found her. I think it comes when it's needed. I remember before I met Ama, I was printing different pictures of gurus, but I never felt connected, but when I was really needed, she appeared, no? I'm really grateful with her.
Yeah, that's amazing, Carlos. Like, it happened. And I also feel like I stumbled into it myself. I wasn't looking to go to her ashram. I didn't know about it. Was just a friend of mine. She booked that. We were in Thailand. She booked this trip and I said, "Okay, I'm going." And then you never know how it's going to come to you. You never know how the path will unfold, but I love that it's so organic. That's how you know it's right. That's how you get the goosebumps. You just feel, okay, I'm so happy to hear that. And for our listeners who are really loving learning more about you and your story, can you share with us too about yoga in Guatemala? What's yoga like there, the scene? Is it really popular? Is there a lot of yoga studios? Is it mostly locals or expats? Can you just paint that picture for us a little bit?
When I used to live in Guatemala City, this is where I start practicing. So this is where I found my teacher, Vicky, that if I need to be honest, even if I travel to India or everywhere, I will always go back to her because her adjustments, her teachings, never found it somewhere before. So sometimes, no, we look so far and we have the things by our side. In the city, yeah, it's growing. I feel it's growing. But it's I feel the people that they do it because they love it. Because in Guatemala, there is not something that is gonna make you rich. They do it because they have faith on it. I feel like some people, maybe for their yoga studios, they even need to put some of their money to keep them up. We have a studio with my family for 10 years. And these 10 years, we never went like rich. Sometimes was hard because people comes and goes. So yeah, Guatemala is growing. People is doing just because they really love to share it. Here in Lake Atitlan, where I live, there's a lot of people from different parts of the world. So you maybe will find a lot of teachers from Europe, from the States, from other different parts. Not too much teachers from Guatemala here in the lake. Maybe, yeah, maybe some. But it's a full mix here in the Lake Atitlan. In San Marcos, you can find people from everywhere. It's like having the whole world in the same town.
Beautiful. And for our listeners too, who maybe don't know very much about Guatemala, maybe they can't quite picture where it is on a map even, would you mind sharing with us more about your country? Not just like where it is in the world, but also if there's anything you want to share about the culture or the landscape or the seasons or the energy there. I would love to hear more.
Yeah, for sure. I would love to share with you and to the listeners, Lily, that here we have a super beautiful gift that is all the teachings of the abuelos and the abuelas Mayas, the Mayans, grandpas and grandmothers that they left to us. They left a lot of teachings, ancestral teachings, a lot of Mayan calendars. So if you come here, you will find the Mayan ceremonies made with fire. They use the fire to talk with the moon and to talk with the sun to make peace with the world. We have this calendar of 20 days. So instead of having 30 or 31 or 28 like February, you have these 20 days in the Mayan calendar. And each day has a different energy, has a different animal protector, has a different intention. It's like having a room with 20 different doors, and every day one different door is open. For example, yesterday, no, was Ahmad. That is a good day to forgive, no, or ask for forgiveness. So you work with the energy. Today is Noh. For example, is the day to bring knowledge into wisdom, words into poetry, problems into song. So every day has a different energy. So every day you have an excuse to do a ceremony. So you start to live your life connected with that path. So if you come here, I would recommend to get close to the Mayan cosmology, because this is like the yoga practice, ancestral and divine. Come to the Lake Atitlan. It's a sacred lake where the only risky thing about Lake Atitlan is that you will not be allowed to leave. It catch you. And then you say, one more week. Then you don't leave. My partner, Elena, she works a lot. Plants, she's not from Guatemala, she's from Spain, but she loves all these things from here.
Amazing. And it sounds like we're having our conversation on a very good day. If it's the day to take knowledge into wisdom and stories to poetry, I think today was the right day.
You choose the day, so you knew it.
Maybe intuitively, or maybe that's just one of the gifts of the universe, making things happen in the right day on the right time. So I have some faith in that.
Probably both.
Probably both. Or as your teacher says, it depends.
It depends. And you say, again, it depends.
Yeah. One of my teachers always said, could it be both? I ask a question, is it that? And just, could it be both? Yeah. I think it's nice to have that non-dualistic thinking that it depends, or it could be both, or could both be true. It's good to flex our minds in that direction of allowing for more possibilities.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I always ask every teacher this question, Shakal. I almost got away without asking you it because our conversation has just flowed so beautifully. But I do like to ask, what is your personal definition of yoga? I know we have the sutras to lean on and those ancient teachings, but if there's something that, you know, intuitively feels right to you about what is yoga for you, what does yoga mean to you? I'd love to hear your thoughts.
I think that mainly, if I need to put it in one word, is a discipline. Yoga is a discipline. No? Maybe the relaxation would be a secondary effect, but yoga is a discipline to create a transformation. For me, the yoga practice makes you do things that your higher self will do. So when you practice, you are going to reach something else. No, you are not staying as the same person you are. Otherwise, you will be the same always. But when you go with yoga, or when you have a student, you try to treat this student as he can be, then the transformation happens. No? So for me, it's a discipline of transformation to reach how they describe the samadhi. No? And for me, the samadhi, I will take some words of one of my favorite teachers. His name is John Scott, an amazing Ashtanga yoga teacher. I have the luck of meeting him. He's a humble man full of wisdom, and he says that samadhi is the selfless, no? So I think that when we find this discipline, it's something to discipline ourselves to live selfless. And there's a really beautiful exercise I learned from a woman. She visited in South India. She was from the yoga center in Mumbai, the oldest yoga center in India. And she made us to make an exercise that for me describes yoga. And I want to make this exercise with you, if it's okay for you, Lily.
Sure, let's do it.
Okay. So this exercise is about talking for 1 minute. You can talk about anything you want, no? Anything. Doesn't need to be yoga. Anything you want. Just for 1 minute. But you will try to avoid the words I, me, my, you, us. Nothing that includes that words for 1 minute. You want to try?
Okay. And it's amazing because we do have a timer on the screen, so I can really time the full minute. I'll start here. And as soon as it hits the 30-second mark, so our listeners have 5 seconds to listen to me wait.
Great.
One day in a beautiful town, there was a grasshopper. And this grasshopper was very lonely and tired and felt that this grasshopper had spent all of the days just staring at the moon. So the grasshopper wanted to stare at something else, wanted to change how the days were spent, how the time was passed. So the grasshopper decided to build a boat and float down the river to go to a new place he had never been before. so he could travel and learn and grow and talk to new creatures and animals to learn knowledge from, so that instead of looking at the moon, he could look at new friends and new faces with new experiences each and every night. Okay, exactly 1 minute. I did not use it once.
Super nice. You are good with this. You also like stories.
I do like stories because I figured, okay, if I'm just going to talk about my life, my day, then I'm going to mess up. I'm going to say I went to this new restaurant or I walked outside. I just knew I had to make it about something that had nothing to do with me or with you. So maybe our listeners will think I cheated a little. So I just made that story up. It wasn't fabulous, but thanks for bearing with us for this exercise. So Shakal, tell us more about this exercise and the intention of it.
Yeah, for sure. I'm glad you did it right. Because now I ask you, and the listeners know that they are listening. If they, in this minute that you talk, is there any negative word that came through your mouth in this minute?
Yeah, I think there was maybe when I said that the grasshopper was really tired, tired of staring at the moon. We wanted something more. Perhaps that would be negative, that he was dissatisfied and tired.
Órale, that's really deep. Okay. But maybe if I ask you like the essence of the story, do you feel that was positive or negative?
I felt like it was positive about new journeys, new friends, new places, and new opportunities to learn.
Exactly. That's how it's for me, the practice, no? In this minute that you talk, the essence, no? Of what you shared with us, everything was beautiful, no? There was not like complaints. So for me, when we practice at least for 2 hours, 1.5 hours, the me, I, mine, disappears. We can see the things as they are with this beautiful discipline. When people come to the practice, I'm not flexible, I'm not strong. I say, you don't need that. The only 2 things that you need for this beautiful discipline is humbleness and patience. If you have humbleness and patience, you will be a super yogi.
No, I love that. And I'm glad we got to try that together. And it is deep to think, what did I talk about? Why did I talk about that? To all of our listeners, if that's an exercise you want to try with a friend, with a teacher, with a partner, I recommend it. It could be a good challenge. And then also kind of reflecting on why, was there anything negative? What was the overarching theme of that? And I think I'll try that with my partner tonight, see what he comes up with.
That's good. Yeah, it always works. Well, most 99% of the time.
Kind of reveals the under feeling or the under emotions, or is revealing the taste or the color of what's going on in your heart. Is that what you think too?
Yeah. And I will say, yeah. And also that most of the times that you put this exercise to someone, I think 99%, the essence of what they are going to tell to you is something positive. When I, me, mine disappears, all the negativity disappears as well.
I like that very much, Carlos. For all of our listeners who want to get in touch with you, want to maybe come join you for a yoga intensive or teacher training, or just maybe have a question, I'm going to share your website and your Instagram accounts in the show notes so they can just click anywhere you're listening to this podcast, just click below and you'll be linked straight to Shakal. And also it'll be on my website, wildyogatribe.com/yoga in Guatemala. As well as a transcript of this podcast episode. So if you want to read along, or if you want to go back and find a quote or something great Shakal said, it'll all be there for you. But Shakal, do you want to hear on the podcast just say the name of your website and your Instagram?
Yeah, for sure. More we can connect between each other, more great. Huh? That's a beautiful thing that you have about this platform like you have, and this temple that you made, on Instagram. So of course, we have a webpage now called tribuashtanga.com. Also, it's called Tribu Ashtanga on Instagram. My Instagram is chakal111. And you can feel free to send me a message. I don't have any like secretario or secretaria, nothing. We can connect directly. You are interested in this practice, in this traditional practice, or in the other ancestral practices related with the old tribes of America. You can reach me. So that's the way. Also, if you come to San Marcos, Tlaycatitlán is a really small village where everyone know each other. So if you walk around the town after 2 days, you know all the people. You can practice. Me and my partner Elena, both we teach Ashtanga mostly every day in the lake. We work with ceremonies, and all these things from the ancestral lineage. So yeah, that's the way we can get in contact.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Chakal, for joining me today, for the gift of sharing your stories and your knowledge and your energy with us. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Lily, for your invitation. Thank you very much for your devotion and love for what you do, because I think that's the biggest power, the devotion. So thanks for being like you are and for bringing this space to me and to the other people. We feel like important, to have a space to talk. So thanks for making us feeling like this.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Wild Yoga Tribe podcast. My conversation with Chakal Lobos, a yoga teacher from Guatemala, was gorgeous. We took a swan dive into the ancestral and spiritual understanding of yoga as a discipline, not as an art, not as a science, as a discipline. I hope that this conversation made you consider things a little differently with Carlos's sharing of stories, parables, and myths. If you're looking to tune into a podcast episode that's all about yoga as a rebellious act, a revolution, a way to follow your own path inwards, then this is the conversation for you. Thank you for listening to the Wild Yoga Tribe podcast. Be well. Thank you for the gift of your attention today. If you feel called, please share this episode with someone who you think could benefit from it. Leaving a review would also be so appreciated. I also hope you can join me online on my website, wildyogatribe.com, or on social media. I would love to get to know you better. I would love to share with you and to hear your thoughts. Send me a DM, send me a note, get in touch. It would be great to hear from you. And as always, be well, dear one. Be well.